Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from the God who loves you and has redeemed you through our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Well, when I was growing up, we had a family friend named Mrs. Katz. Mrs. Katz helped my mom with house cleaning. She babysat us sometimes when my parents would go out for the evening. And sometimes when they went out of town on vacation, Mrs. Katz would also babysit us. My mom would always say that Mrs. Katz was an extremely frugal woman and that she would probably die a very wealthy woman. Well, when I was in college, Mrs. Katz died. Mrs. Katz was a widow without children and any known immediate family. This caused my mind to wander a little. How much money had Mrs. Katz amassed, being the frugal one? And wouldn't it be wonderful if she had named me as one of her heirs? Because after all, we were like family. Well, my mind really did take off with this, perhaps because I was a poor college student. How wonderful it would be if I received an inheritance. No more financial worries, and my financial future would be so secure. Well, looking back on my life, if I had received an inheritance, I certainly would have lived differently with a financially secure future. But I also would have missed out on some of the risk that I took, risk that I both benefited from and learned from. Listen to our scripture verse again for this morning, the verse that Pastor Rudd read. I think it's worth repeating. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. According to the Apostle Paul, we are not only God's children, but we've received a priceless inheritance. We're not just heirs, but co-heirs with Christ. God considers us equal inheritors of all that God has to give with Christ, God's only begotten Son. We usually hear today's scripture verse on Holy Trinity Sunday, along with the story of Nicodemus from the Gospel of John. And I think they work well together because Nicodemus was a man who seemed to have it all. He was a Pharisee, a leader of the Jews. He was probably well-respected, well-accepted. He just seemed to have a great life with no worries. But I've always wondered why he came to see Jesus in the middle of the night. This man of status out in the middle of the night to visit a 30-something-year-old rabbi with a questionable reputation whose followers are a bunch of smelly fishermen. Perhaps Nicodemus, an eminently respected leader, was intrigued by Jesus, but didn't want anyone to see him meeting with him. Or perhaps John is playing with his favorite metaphor, darkness and light. Two chapters earlier, John had written, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." John likes the symbolism of Nicodemus emerging out of the dark of the night to visit the one who is, as John has just told us, the light of the world. But the reason Nicodemus visited Jesus in the middle of the night, the reason that I like best, is perhaps the simplest of all. He couldn't sleep. How many of us have been up in the middle of the night worried about our families, things going on at work, a decision that we have to make, Perhaps we're waiting for the results of medical tests for ourselves or for a loved one. Maybe a relationship is filled with tension. But we're all longing for God, longing for the peace of Christ. St. Augustine of Hippo, a 5th century Christian theologian, prayed these words in his search for God's peace. Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee. So let's go back to our scripture verse from Romans. The Apostle Paul is inviting us not to fall back into fear, but to imagine a life where we have received a spirit of adoption and invited into the fullness of God's blessings and peace. Jesus has a similar message to Nicodemus when he talks about being born from above. Literal birth and spiritual birth, again, both journeys from darkness to light. And Jesus invites both Nicodemus and us to be born from above as God's children, those so precious that God was willing to give his only son as testament to how much God loves each of us. After all, God's own being, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is defined by loving relationship. The more years that I'm a pastor, the less I tend to pretend that I understand the Trinity. Even Augustine said it was beyond him. But I do know this: God is all about relationship. In Genesis, we read God the Creator is there before all time. And in the opening words of John's Gospel, in the beginning was the Word. We hear that Jesus was also present at creation, there with the Spirit that was brooding over the watery chaos. Creator, Christ, and Spirit, all three. So what does that mean for us? What does it mean for us to live knowing we are God's beloved children, adopted and chosen and named co-heirs with Christ, that God loves us unconditionally? The Creator who created the whole universe and every creature, the God who has created you and me and given us the very breath of life, sees us with immeasurable value. And God loves us enough to be the Redeemer who has saved and redeemed the world from sin, sorrow, and separation, so that we might be joined to that love forever. And God loves us enough to be the Spirit who is at work in us, inspiring, strengthening, guiding, advocating, and illuminating us in our daily living. So if God, at God's very core, is about mutually interdependent, loving relationships, this says to me that we don't just exist beside each other. We aren't just supposed to love each other, but we deeply need each other to be fully human, to be the body of Christ, in order to really live out our identity as children of God. We are created to be in honest and deep relationships with each other as people born anew. And as co-heirs with Christ, we really must share one another's burdens, rejoice when each one of us rejoices, and weep when one of us weeps. God, who is in us and among us through the Holy Spirit, using us to share the good news of his love and purpose for us all. Thanks be to God. Amen.